And I was glad to be able to help Brother Cliff back then. And he is on a rest period right now. Church, I want to say thank you for allowing him this time. If you've never pastored a church before, you don't know how difficult it is. And I've heard people say, well, yeah, but he's in a church and he's serving the Lord. That's, you know, how can that be so hard? And yet, folks, I have heard over and over again that one of the most difficult types of jobs or ministries is that of pastoring a church. The heart of a pastor is for his people, for his sheep. And he has sometimes lofty dreams and desires and wishes for the congregation. And sometimes pastors become workaholics. You know, a pastor's job isn't Monday to Friday from 9 to 5. A pastor's job a lot of times is Sunday to Saturday, 24 hours a day. Because they may call him at any time. When a person, one of his sheep passes away, there's no respecter of time. Whoops, we got to wait. The pastor's sleeping. Let's wait till he wakes up. It doesn't happen that way. And so I know that Cliff, as you well know, he's been through a lot. And so I thank you, church, for allowing him this time to just take a break, not have to worry about sermon preparation. Just being able to relax, being able to rest, being able to energize yourself, go out there and catch those fish. Amen. Of course, I don't know how relaxing that is when you get frustrated and those fish don't bite. You know, I mean, that's just the reality. I've often told people that I don't like fishing. The only time I like it is when they're biting. Amen. You know, otherwise I'm going to stay away from fishing, but just pray for him. Pray for him not just now, but when he's here. And I am so grateful for y'all, even though he is not here, Jesus Christ is still the head of this church. Amen. He is still on his throne, and we as his sheep, as the Bible refers us to, you know, we still have a responsibility to continue worshiping him and gathering together. And so you've done that. And yes, we've had a lot of rain, and yes, there was wondering about, you know, flooding. Are they going to close the church? Are they not? The retreat that the ladies had there in Dilley yesterday, Lori Beth was saying, man, I don't know, with all this rain, maybe we ought to cancel. And I said, no, you just go on with it. Amen. And I think she had about 80 ladies registered, and 70 of them showed up. So that's not too bad. So I just pray for your pastor, encourage him, just, you know, and listen to what the Lord is saying to you. God's going to speak through him, but you know what? God also speaks to us individually. Amen. And we've got to be listening. And so I just want to say those words to begin with this morning. Thank you for allowing me this opportunity to just share with you from God's word. The title of my sermon is Dealing with the Unexpected. Amen. Dealing with the unexpected. How do you do that? And we're going to have those kind of situations come our way, and we're not going to really be sure what do I do? What do I do? And so I want to share a story from the Old Testament about King Jehoshaphat and how an incident happened in his life. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to speak to us. When I was pastoring in Catula, a lot of times before my sermons, I said, Holy Spirit, you teach us, because there in the Gospel of John, it tells us about the Holy Spirit being the one who reveals God's Word to us. And I really do believe there may be a one sermon that a preacher shares, but the sermon you hear may be different because the Holy Spirit knows what your needs are. So let's go to the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the Father. Ask him to speak to us this morning. Father God, thank you for the freedom we have here in our country to openly come together and worship you. Thank you for these faithful followers, your children, in spite of the rain, in spite of some flooding, they're here. And Father, you speak to them. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. You are the one who reveals things to us, your truths. And so, Father, we depend on that. So you know our hearts. Everyone who's here this morning, you know each heart. And my request, my prayer is I share the word with them that you speak what they need to hear this morning. And we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Several years ago, Dora's, my wife's nephew, 18 years old, came to live with us. He was 3 months away from graduating from high school. His family life, they're going through some struggles, and we lived in Cotulla, he lived in Cotulla, and he asked if it'd be okay if he just came to live with my wife and I. And so we said yes, and he moved on. He had a job, he had his vehicle, and very responsible young man. And it was Super Bowl weekend. And he had told us, Dora and I had gone out of town, and he had told us that he was going to go to Laredo to his cousin's home and watch the Super Bowl. Well, that afternoon, Dora and I were coming back home, back to Cotulla, and we got a call later in the day. We got a call from his mother saying, "Have you heard from David?" And of course, Dora and I, having been out of town, and we weren't always, you know, every minute, where are you at, what are you doing, none of that sort of stuff. And so we said, we haven't heard anything. So my wife began to give some calls and find out what's happened to David, because, you know, this is already into the evening and it takes about an hour from Cotulla to Laredo. And this is 3, 4, 5 hours later and they hadn't heard from him. Long story short, we found that he had been involved in an accident and his life was taken. Totally unexpected. Here was David, 18-year-old kid, 3 months finishing high school. He already had an acceptance to a college in Laredo. He had dreams of what he wanted to do later on in life. And then unexpectedly, his life was taken away from him. Y'all have maybe your own story. An unexpected illness. An unexpected death. Find out you're with cancer and you have so many months to live. Your spouse says, "I'm out of here," and calls it quits. You fill in the blanks. All of us, as we go through life, we're going to have those situations, those circumstances where we think everything is working out well, and then suddenly the rug, as we say, the rug is pulled out from underneath us and we're left there thinking, what do I do? If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat, this story about Jehoshaphat, he was the son of Asa, who was the king of Judah. And of course, Jehoshaphat was the successor of the king of his father. We read over in chapter 17, that 2 Chronicles, that Jehoshaphat was a man who walked with God. He was faithful to the Lord. In verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 17, it says, "The Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because in his early years he walked in the ways his father David had followed. He did not consult the Baals, but sought the God of his fathers and followed his commands rather than the practices of Israel." So we know just a little tidbit that Jehoshaphat was a man who loved God. Surrendered to God, given his life over to him. He was going to serve God in his life. And so he was a strong leader. He loved the Lord. He followed the Lord. And he desired to be obedient to whatever the Lord brought along his life. Now, let me read these scriptures here. I want to read specifically verses 1 through 4. And then verses 15 through 17, then I'll fill in the context of what's going on. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 4. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Meunites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar," that is in Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Now let's fast forward there to verse 15. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." You know, there were a lot of battles in those days, in the times and Bible times. As you read through the Old Testament, it's battle after battle after battle. And you know that God had chosen the Israelites to be His people, His representatives. We don't know why He chose the Israelites. Why didn't He choose the Romans? Why didn't He choose the Babylonians? We don't know. He chose the Israelites. And He wanted those people to share His promise of, "I am a God, a live God, a real God. I'm going to take care of you." And so He chose them and He led them through to Egypt, where they multiplied. They escaped Egypt. He rescued them from the pursuing army of the Egyptians. God took care of the Israelites while they were in the desert. And you know, the people of Israel were not always obedient to God. And whenever they came back to God, He accepted, He embraced them, He brought them back to Him. And so their life went through. And the story goes that as they were in the desert, traveling from the Sinai Peninsula, the 40 years into the before they got to the Promised Land, there were some countries there that the Israelites inquired, said, "Can we pass your territory?" Of course, guess what? The Moabites were one of those groups. And the Moabites said, "No, you cannot come through our territory." So the Israelites, following God's lead, went around it. The Ammonites, the others, the same way. So we see that there was some conflict, possible conflict between Judah and Israel and the Moabites, the Ammonites and these others. And there was that constant warring. You know, I don't always understand it, but that's what happened. Okay? So here we see the scene that for the most part, the kingdom of Judah is at peace. Jehoshaphat is leading them. Everything seems to be going in order. And then suddenly, King Jehoshaphat gets this message. Unexpected event. And the word to Jehoshaphat is the Moabites, the Ammonites with the Meunites are coming to fight against you. Well, previous chapters show us that Judah had been in some fights with the Moabites, and they defeated the Moabites. They defeated the Ammonites. And so now the nation of Israel, in Judah, they're living in peace. Things are going well. And all we can surmise is that the Moabites, along with the Ammonites, decided to, "Let's get revenge. Let's go get them." Isn't that kind of an ongoing story in life today? "He did that to me. I'm going to go get him back." You know, it's amusing to me how I hear about kids that say, and adults that say, you know, "I'm being bullied. I'm being bullied at school. I'm being bullied at work. Well, it comes to find out that the ones that are complaining about being bullied are also bullying. It's like a two-way street. So the Moabites didn't like this. And so they went to Jehoshaphat, and the word got to Jehoshaphat. And we read there in verse 3 that alarm. Jehoshaphat was not expecting this. Suddenly, something changes. So it's interesting to note that Jehoshaphat, being a man of God, he went straight to the Lord. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say, okay, man, let's get our soldiers together. Let's get our weapons together. We've got a battle to fight. No, he didn't do that. He went to the Lord. He sought out the Lord. It says here, he inquired of the Lord. He asked the Lord. Lord, in a sense, we might say that Lord, what do we do? He proclaimed a fast. A fast was a time of abstaining from food, abstaining from it for the purpose of, God, we're serious about that. We are going to halt this moment until you give us an answer. It was a very deep desire to hear from God. And this was a practice they did a lot back in Bible times. Nowadays, we don't do it too much. A period, maybe we ought to, yeah. A period when we slow down, we stop, we just refrain from doing those things we enjoy doing for the purpose of saying, God, I want to hear from you. So Jehoshaphat did that. But look at what's interesting here. He said the people, all of the nation of Judah came together. It wasn't just the king, it was everybody came together and they were seeking the Lord and they came from every town. So Jehoshaphat goes to the Lord and he inquires of the Lord and he has this prayer. Verse 6 onward, he has this prayer. O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? And he begins to praise the Lord, thanking him for who he is, that we're trusting in you, and we're just inquiring. Lord, you have been faithful to us all of these years, and now we're just seeking guidance on what we should do. And so he shares this prayer with them, and he in a sense he says, Lord, we know these people are coming after us. They're fighting us. They want to get into battle with us, and we're just seeking you for guidance and direction. What do we do? What do we do? So a lot of times that's what happens to us in life when the unexpected happens. We're almost in shock. Verse 3, alarmed. Jehoshaphat was alarmed. You know, when we got this word that David had been killed in this one car accident, my wife just, it hit her. This was her nephew. And it just, she was driving the car. We were in Cthulhu. We went to the house where David had been living with his other brothers, and nobody was there. We did our own investigation. We went to his house. Nobody was there. We're coming back. We're talking to her older nephew, and he said, yes, I think I went by the accident. I didn't realize it was David. I think, he said, Tia, I think he's gone. My wife just lost it. Weeping. And I remember to this day, I remember saying, Dora, pull over. Let me drive. And so she got out of the car and I got in the car and I drove from there. And she was alarmed. She was in shock. And so look at, we go on there. Verse 13, all of the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. You know, this, the wives were there. Children were there. Everybody came together. God, what's going on? And so a Levite by the name of Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to that Levite. The Levites were kind of like the spiritual, should I say, spiritual leaders of the nation of Israel. They were in charge of the tabernacle, of packing it up, of moving it, setting it, establishing And so this priest, this Levite, the Lord spoke to him, and this is what the message he said to King Jehoshaphat by way of this Levite. Jehaziel said to King Jehoshaphat, listen. I'm in verse 15. Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says. Isn't that interesting how God may speak through different people? Keep that in mind. God may speak to somebody else, to you, may be saying something that He wants you to hear. And so He says, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. Isn't that interesting how sometimes the other enemy looks so big? You know? Because of this vast army. The battle is not yours, but God's. In other words, God is saying to him, Joseph, this is my fight. Let me deal with it. Tomorrow, this is he's giving these orders to Jehoshaphat and the nation of Judah. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Has that ever noticed how sometimes when these unexpected events come our ways that we feel like we need to take care of it? Well, they're going to do that to me? I know what I'm going to do. And we begin to kind of plan some schemes of how we're going to get back at them. The Lord said to Jehoshaphat, you're not going to fight this. This is my fight. This is my battle. Let me take care of this dilemma. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. I like that. Stand firm. Stand tall. Just stand there. Isn't that something? You know, the Lord does things in the Bible times that are totally... He told Joshua, march around Jericho 7 times for 7 days. And you think, the what? What? But you know what? Joshua did what God had asked him to do. In the battle, they defeated there in Jericho. A lot of things God does don't make sense to us. But then again, we have to understand He's God, we're not. Amen. He knows what's best in life. We don't. All we can understand and fathom is this moment. Whereas God knows what's going to happen 5 minutes from now, 10 minutes, half an hour, tomorrow, next week. He knows that. So He says, all I guys want you to do is just stand still. Okay. And they listened. They listened. He said, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow and the Lord will be with you. So Jehoshaphat did just what the Lord asked him to do. Verse 18, he worshiped God. Isn't that amazing? This is what you're supposed to do. Just stand there. Oh, really? Okay. And then he bowed down and he began to worship the Lord. Jehoshaphat, verse 18, bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped the Lord. And then he called the Levites from the Kohathites and the Korites, stood up and praised the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. Verse 20, early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa. They did what God asked them to go. Go ahead and march down there where this army is going to meet you. Go ahead. He marched down there. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah, the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in His prophets and you will be successful. Verse 21, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord, to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness as they were out at the head of the army. Now try and picture this. Here's this battle. We got these guys coming after us. Oh, man, what are we going to do? God said, just stand still. Go down there, march towards them, face them. And what does Jehoshaphat do? Leaders, let's sing a hymn. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. stand up for it, you know, and they start singing and praising God. They're worshiping the Lord. The battle hasn't even started. And they're already thanking the Lord. They're seeking the Lord's guidance in this matter. As Paul, what was it? Paul Harvey used to say, I miss him, but he said the rest of the story. The rest of the story. Look at it. It's there. They gave thanks to the Lord. They recognized who God was. His love endures forever. Verse 22, as they began to sing and praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Isn't that interesting? Thanking the Lord, praising Him, recognizing His greatness and who He was, and all the while, God is taking care of the fight. Just like He said He was going to take care of the fight. Verse 23, the men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Basically, they start fighting each other, and they killed each other off. Boy, if God doesn't take care of our battles that way, how can we expect to do better? You know, Romans 12 talks about the Lord saying, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Have you ever noticed how many times, even with us as Christians, sometimes we want to take care of the situation. God, they said this about me and I got fired. Lord, I don't like that. And we want to try and resolve it on our own terms. I want to leave you this morning. Got a few minutes left. I want to leave you with some guidelines. If you're taking notes and you haven't heard anything else, listen to these guidelines that we as God's children would do well to put into practice. Okay? Number one, seek the Lord first. Simple. An unexpected dilemma has entered into your life, something you did not see coming. You did not see it coming. First thing you ought to do is, Lord, I don't understand. However you want to word it, there isn't a magical formula for saying this. It's simply going to the Lord and saying, Lord, I don't understand what's going on. Help me. I tell people who don't know Jesus Christ and their relationship with the Lord is just non-existent. They don't want to have anything to do with the Lord. And I share with them, and as I shared with one lady one time, I do chaplaincy work at a nursing home over in Cotulla. And I shared with this girl, she started to open up to me about some of the things, the unexpected things she was going through in her family. And I asked her, I said, have you ever talked to God about this? She said, no. I said, talk to Him. God, if you're up there, make yourself somehow, let me know it's you. I, for some reason, I believe God honors that kind of request. I don't think God just answers every little whim and desire and prayer of ours. If we're not His children, if we're not following Him, if we're not walking with Him, why should He tend to our hurts and our pains that we ourselves have brought on? But yet God is a good God. And when we say, God, I don't know who You are, you know, and if You're real, show Yourself to me. I believe God hears that prayer. Yeah. Jeremiah 29 talks about that. They will seek Me and they will find Me when they search for Me with all their hearts, and I will make Myself known. Plain and simple. Jeremiah 29, 11, 12, 13, and 14, if you want to look it up a little bit later. So God is going to help His kids, His children. And so when we go to Him and we seek Him first, here's a couple of verses that you can jot down there. Matthew 6, 33, a verse very common. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Here's another one. Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. You want to know how near God is to you? He's just a voice away. Yeah, we would sometimes think He's on somewhere out there, who knows where, and he doesn't know what's going on. Friends, God knows a whole lot better than you do what's going on.
Amen.
Seek Him while He may be found, because there is a day coming, He's not going to be there.
Amen.
He's going to take His children to be with Him, those who followed Him, those who surrendered themselves to Him, He's going to take them to be with Him. Seek Him while He may be found. By the way, seeking God first is not a sign of weakness. Aren't you man enough to take care of it yourself? You got to depend on God? Absolutely. Because the wisest thing you can do for yourself, the best thing you can do for yourself, the right thing you can do for yourself is turn to God and say, God, I need Your help. You know, it's interesting. Too many people want to depend on their self. When they depend on their self, it leads only to failure.
Amen.
Seek God first. Here's the next point. Listen to what He's saying. Don't just hear. Listen to what He is saying. And we pick that up in verse 13 and 14. Verses 13 through 17. Listen, He says in verse 15, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all of Judea, this is what the Lord says to you. And then the Lord proceeds to tell him, don't be afraid. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take care of this battle. Take courage. Take heart. You're not going to be alone in this matter. I'm going to walk through it with you. It's one thing to hear. It's another thing to listen. We have this little Ethan with us. He was with me last time I was here. I asked him, Ethan, are you listening? I know he can hear me. I know he can hear me. Is he listening? Is he paying attention? See, there's a great big difference there. When we have these unexpected dilemmas and God is speaking to us, we need to listen to what He is saying, and then we need to respond accordingly. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 24. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. I share with you briefly, as director of missions, when Jimmy Smith left, you know, leaving the position of the association law office vacant, that was not where I wanted to, send it. I was pastoring in Cotulla. I felt that's where God kept me at the time. That's where I needed to stay. Now I kept praying, Lord, continue to lead me, continue leading me. Through experiencing God, some of you may have gone through that. You might recall where it says, look at the markers in your life and see how God has led you through your life. And I noticed when I left seminary in Fort Worth, went to Zapata, Texas to pastor, God initiated that. The pastor down there, First Baptist Church, called me and said, Lauren, would you consider this? And I said, Lord, I want to go to the border. I want to do a little Spanish church, and I preach in a Spanish church, and I want to be on a mission setting. God answered that, and I responded. Traveling down I-35 here back in 1982, I got past San Antonio on my way to Laredo, a bunch of nothing in between there. And I said, I got to thinking, Lauren, do you know what you're doing? And then the door opened and somebody approached me about going to Katy, Texas to pastor there. God initiated. And then I was in Katy and I got a letter from Dallas saying, Lauren, I need to talk to you. And the opportunity to serve with the Rio Grande River Ministry opened up. Somebody else initiated that. And God, I believe, was saying, Lauren, okay, this is your next step. And that's how my life had gone. And so when this position opened up, I wasn't seeking it until somebody, a pastor, called me out of the blue and said, Lauren, I think you ought to consider this position. Lauren, are you listening? I took that as God's initiation, initiating the move. And so I pursued the channels, the questionnaire. And by the way, your pastor was a part of that. How much I appreciate him and all he did with our in the association and his being our moderator. He's done a great job. I appreciate that. Went through the channels, and guess what? Lauren, we want, Cliff called me. We want you to be our next director of missions. You know what? I could have said, you know what, Cliff, I've never done that before. I'm pastor over here in Cotulla right now, and I'm sorry. I'm not prepared. I don't know how to do it. I've never done it before. Yeah, I've never done this before. But I've followed through, and folks, I want you to know, I'm so much enjoying what I'm doing. I'm learning all that is required. I have a lot more learning to do. But listen to what the Lord is saying, and God is going to lead. Okay? Now, here's a third point, and it's very similar to the listening at part of it. Do what He says. Do, you've heard it, are you listening? Do now what He's asked you to do. This is what Jehoshaphat did. He did what God had asked him to do. Go down there, meet them, stand firm. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to take care of the battle. It's almost like the Lord is saying, I want you to go towards them. And you know, we're thinking, God, are you serious? I don't want to get there. They got their weapons, their spears, and who knows what else. God says, you go down there. I'm going to take care of this. And God took care of it. Somehow or other, obedience honors the Lord. Amen. Obedience. Doing what He says. James talks about that. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. It's good to listen. But now we've got to obey and follow through with that. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. God's talking to the Babylonians. They were in captivity because they kept disobeying God. And Isaiah warned them, Ezekiel warned them, Jeremiah warned them, and they didn't listen. And they're in captivity for 70 some odd years, and the Lord doesn't give up on them. He says, listen, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper for you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. And God has never given up on His nation, the Israelites. He's never given up on His people. So you don't only seek Him first, but you listen to Him, and then you do what you do, what He's asking you to do. And finally, you need to give thanks to Him. It may be at the beginning of the dilemma, and you don't have a clue what's going on. How do I deal with this? But you say, God, you have a plan in what's going on. You know what's happening. I am trusting you. And in a sense, that's what thanksgiving is. Thank Him before the event has even taken place. I've had situations where as a pastor in my previous churches where there was a conflict between some of the members of the church. Can you imagine that? Pastor having conflict with his church members? You know, the Bible says we're supposed to be together. We're supposed to be united. We're supposed to be working together, loving each other. There's conflict. They don't like what the pastor said. And these situations, I said, Lord, I'm really not sure how to handle this. And I'm asking you for wisdom. And Lord, I thank you. I don't know what's going to happen. Lord, I thank you for how you're going to take care of this. Folks, you want to know something? Before I even had to talk to this individual, the situation was already resolved. Think of all the worrying I would have wasted. Lord, I can't worry now because you are taking care of it. He doesn't want us to worry. He wants us to rest in Him and trust Him. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, but in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God knows what those dilemmas are, even though we say, Lord, that's against your word. My spouse wants to leave me. They're asking for a divorce. Lord, that's not in your plan. God knows that. God, cancer, I've been serving you all my life. And then you take my life out of here? I think of Cassie Bennett in Littletown, Colorado years ago when these high school kids were their lives. I think that's what her name was. And the shooter looked at her and said, "Do you believe in Jesus?" And she said, "Yes, I do." And boom, he took her life out. Cassia Brunell, that's her name. God, here's a high school student who loves you and could have been a minister for... Lord, what... But God knows what's going on.
Amen.
And as a result of her death, other students came to know the Lord. Somehow God is able to use that unexpected dilemma in our lives to bring honor and glory to His name. And when we thank Him, we give Him the praise for it. He is honored.
Amen.
That's really what it boils down to. Honoring Him, not self. God wants us to honor Him. Acknowledging that He is doing something in your life is going to take a whole lot of weight and pressure and headache from you. The Lord Himself said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Too many times we as God's children take these things on our own and we try to resolve it ourselves. And God says, I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to guide you through life. I know life better than you ever will. So these unexpected dilemmas and crises and other situations that come to you, hey, I'm there for you. Okay? Just call me. Remember the story of the parable of the sheep? 99 of them were perfectly A-okay, but one strayed away. What did the Lord do? Hey, those are okay. Let me go after the one that's lost. And He took care of him and brought him back into the fold. Friends, this is the hope we have and you have. If you're walking with God, He is there for you.
Amen.
Following the Lord is not a burden. I was reading here a little article. I don't have all the stats for it, but this millennial generation, a lot of them are just pushing God out of the way. We don't need Him. I'm getting along fine without Him. What do I need religion for? Of course, that's where they're confused. It's not religion, it's relationship. They don't understand that. And so here they are pushing God out of the picture. They don't have a clue what they're saying. Because God has come to give us life and purpose and meaning and hope. Romans, I believe it's 15 verse 4 says, these things were written in the past. What was written in here was to give us hope. You see, and so as God's children, we have that hope. Access it. But let me turn the other side of the coin. If you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, my friend, you are missing the greatest hope and joy and purpose in life. It just saddens my heart the number of people that are taking their lives because life just doesn't mean anything to them. And God says, "I am come to give them life and life in abundance." Why do we turn away the one that's going to give us hope? It's like being in these floodwaters that are going around here and we're screaming for help and somebody comes by, throws out a lifesaver and no, pick me out of this. And we let the lifesaver go by because we want something better. Do you know Jesus Christ, my friend? We're going to have a closing invitation here. I'll be here in the front. Some of you maybe want to come down here and pray. Maybe I can pray with you. Maybe there's another decision. But friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you have a huge void in your life. And you cannot fill it on your own. But the Lord will. And He will so fulfill your life. You will be wondering, why on earth did I wait so long? Jesus Christ is our only hope, people. And He loves us and He cares for us. Father God, speak to our hearts this morning. I thank you for what you've said to us. And Lord, in this closing invitation, if any of them here feel led to surrender their life to you, maybe to seek you, maybe to dedicate their lives anew, Father, you work in their hearts in these moments that follow. Through Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Y'all come and let's stand in this closing invitation. And if the Lord has touched your heart in some capacity, I'm here to receive you. If I can pray with you, if I can help you in some matter.